Hey folks, Scott from IT Rockstars. Hope you're doing well. This is the podcast, the show, wherever you might be hearing or watching this, where we interview IT business owners, managed service providers, cybersecurity companies, technology companies, whatever you want, guys want to call yourself. But we interview them and we ask them questions about how they kind of grew their business and how they're attracting clients. Our whole purpose here at IT Rockstars is to transform marketing in the IT services space. And we have recently, I'm just going to do a plug here before we get into this interview. We recently released this new book, Video Marketing for MSPs. Go check it out. You can get it on Amazon. Enough plugging for just now. On today's show, we have Diana Scott of Blue Castle IT. It's a IT firm based in Cheshire or mid Connecticut. I think that's how you said it, Diana. Is that
Central City. Yeah.
Central City. Okay, and there's a place called Cheshire here in the UK. So, just in case our audience got a little bit mixed up, it's the one in Connecticut.
Yeah, I grew up in Bristol, Connecticut. So that's probably going to be
Bristol. Yeah, I haven't been to Bristol yet in the UK, but yeah. So first question for you, Diana: how long have you been in business? How long have you had Blue Castle IT?
So Blue Castle's IT is coming up on 3 years now. It's been an exciting time.
Yeah. Okay. Is it just yourself in the business?
No, I've got a few technicians here with me. My brother helps do some sales and marketing. So right off the bat, a little bit of a family business when we started. Okay. Started out, but we've grown and added some employees with us as well.
Yeah. So how did you get like your very first clients in that, 3 years ago?
It was business networking, almost like 101. I think I hit the pavement really hard when I launched the business. Okay. I had a lot of a big good foundation with me because I used to work for another IT MSP. So I've been in the industry, so to speak, 8 years, at that point before starting out my own. And so I was able to, one of the important things I had learned in that time was your telecom vendors, your internet providers, those kind of connections. And it was through one of those kind of connections that I managed to meet my first big MSP client.
Is that right? Okay. And what was this, how big was the client?
25 users. Okay. So when you're starting out, that's a pretty good land when you're starting out. And that really worked for me.
What was the first thing that you, what was the first pain point that you solved for them?
They were still on an Exchange server. And they had, so Office 365 migration pretty much right off the bat for those guys and, really messy backup situation. Like one of those, here's our onboarding process. We're going to come down, take a look, turned into, I will be back tomorrow with our own, external hard drive and to, plug in and get some good backups running because, we encountered some stuff there
that we had a non-existent then. Yeah. So what's your backup solution now? Do you have a standard model that you put out to all your customers or what do you recommend?
I use Veeam. Okay. I've drunk the Veeam Kool-Aid. The more products they put out, the more, I love it. One of the biggest challenges for a long time with Veeam was that they didn't have a good way to kind of get their backups up to the cloud. Mm-hmm. There's kind of workarounds you had to do. And then once they sort of developed their offsite tier, like cloud storage that integrated directly with Veeam, I switched everybody over to that platform and got all my clients using it. Yeah.
Okay. Veeam's what I use as well. And it seems to do a good job. So I'm happy with it. So the direction that you obviously had an idea in mind back then 3 years ago, what you were going to do with the company, would you say that direction's changed at all, or are you still on track for the goals that you set back 3 years ago?
That's a great question. So I'd say that the overarching goal, yes, which is I wanted to be a shop that was a managed service provider, so. Mm-hmm. The majority of our business was going to be the monthly recurring revenue model, not reliant on projects, so to speak. COVID has definitely shifted that, I would say. Okay. So this year in particular, you know, starting in the spring, we've seen some companies that are just hesitant to make, you know, a 12-year commit even because things are so unstable out there. So that has actually resulted in uptick in the project work that we're doing. A lot of more short-term or one-time, you know, infrastructure type projects, migration projects. So it's keeping us busy. So it's not necessarily what I had had in mind, per se, but I do feel like the dust is going to settle, and we'll continue on that, you know, the goal of having the managed services be our bread and butter of what we do.
Okay, so what's the goal for the next 12 months then? What's your targets?
You know, my target has been, since we started the business, was, you know, add one client per month. Mm-hmm. It was an ambitious goal when we were smaller. But I think that we're still leading up to that. You know, it's one of those things where in our industry, you know, clients aren't equal. So one 10 person client, you know, 10 users client is, you know, and then you've got one, you know, 40 user client. Those are two different things. So whether or not we continue that sort of, you know, one client per month rate, it depends on the client. I'll take one 40 user client over, you know.
Oh, definitely. Yeah.
I'll eat on that for a couple months. You know, that'll fill me up.
Cool. So, you know, obviously things have changed a lot in the last 6 months with lockdown and the virus. Are you finding that you mentioned their project work and, you know, maybe new business are looking more at that project work. Are you finding that, like, your existing client base? I mean, what's the main pain points that they've had over the last 6 months? There's obviously the whole work from home thing, but is there anything that kind of keeps cropping up continuously?
Yeah, I mean, I think when everything first happened, March, April, it was all about the functionality. It was getting everybody working remote from home, setting it up, getting it working, you know, so business could continue. And I think there's some companies that stopped there. They didn't go to the next level. I kind of think of it three levels. One, functionality. Two would be when you start thinking about the security of the solution, you know, the remote from home solution. And then third being like optimization or efficiency.
Yeah.
So everybody got everybody working from home pretty easily because from a functional standpoint, you can get it to work. That doesn't mean it's working well. It just means it's working. Uh-huh. And now we've got some companies that are starting to look at the security. Oh, wait a minute. Hey, everybody's at home on their personal home networks and, you know, using some personal devices at times. And some companies are making that. They're moving forward. And so they're starting to view the security and then they're starting to think, how can we do this efficiently?
That's certainly what I'm seeing as well. Just the last couple of weeks, I've had a number of questions on the security side of things when working from home.
Yeah. And I think companies are getting there at different speeds. You know, there's some that were right there pretty quickly. Okay. It's not just about working from home, but like, how are we going to do this, you know, the right way, so to speak. And then there are other companies who have been, they're kind of getting dragged into that. They're like, oh, I guess now I have to think about security, you know, after they've already been in a work from home situation or remote work for 4 or 5 months. Yeah. But we're here for them, you know, to help them with that.
The biggest, from a security perspective, this is from my own experience anyway, the biggest thing that I've seen so far is probably where you'd have office workers and they would be sat behind an enterprise firewall. That's no longer the case. They're on Office 365 services, so they're just using that clean internet connection. So if they're on the work laptop at home, they're not protected with that firewall. So when it comes to coming to a dodgy website, is there a web filtering solution in the mix for those work from home users? So that's the biggest thing that I've seen at the moment. They're the biggest opportunity potentially for a lot of MSPs. So I don't know if you've got any specifics like that you'd like to share.
In terms of products that we recommend, or you mean like kind of examples of
just gaps or if you know things that you've seen, we need to get that fixed for you.
Sure. Well, along those lines of what you're talking about, like that home Wi-Fi network or home network solution, you know, are they using that router that has that default, you know, admin admin password, you know, connection, and now that's the only thing between, you know, the internet and then the laptop that's doing the company, you know, working with like some sensitive company data.
So a man in the middle attack waiting to happen type thing.
Yeah. And then, you know, of course, like phishing and spam type, you know, attacks through email. Like you mentioned, there's less to catch it. So if they're on their home laptop, they're working away at work, then it's, you know, outside of company hours or maybe in the middle of the day, and they're checking some personal emails, some personal feeds. That laptop doesn't have the company's antivirus installed, isn't behind the company's enterprise firewall. So they worries if they were doing the same kind of actions at the office place, it might've gotten caught in one of those filters. They're at home, they don't have those added protections. Maybe they're clicking that link. And now it is making its way onto the machine where it would have been caught, you know, under other circumstances.
Okay.
That's a huge liability.
This is all awesome advice, Dana. So I did mention that you can use parts of this video if you want. You can, you know, chop it out for your LinkedIn and whatever. So I'd asked you before the interviews, you know, I always ask anyone that's on the show is like, you know, okay, what would make this a win for you? What question do you want me to ask you? And you kind of mentioned empowering business owners. Can you tell me a little bit about, this is almost like your company mission, I guess, but can you tell me what you mean by that?
It's a big part of what Blue Castle IT is about. Part of our slogan is, you know, support, security, peace of mind. And so that's a big part of the peace of mind, you know, part of what we offer. And so really it is with a lot of, you know, the users we interact with, especially these business owners, they're not IT people, they're not technical people. Anytime they enter into our arena, you know, we're the technical support people, they are often feeling, you know, overwhelmed. What do I do? What do I need to do? What do I really need to care about? COVID's a great example of that, because even some business owners who felt sure-footed, you know, a couple of months ago or earlier in the year are feeling, where can I get good guidance and who can I rely on for that, you know, trusted advisor type role. And a big part of that, which doesn't get talked about a lot, I don't think, or at least maybe our industry doesn't focus on it as much, is that I believe 100% that the burden of communication and the ownership over empowering the business owner is on us as their provider, not the other way around.
Okay.
So a great example I like to use a lot is when you have a business owner and they have an IT professional, maybe it's an internal IT staff member or a company like myself, comes to them and says, hey, you need to spend 10 grand to fix, you know, fill in the blank, whatever it might be.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And the business owner says, okay, great. Why do I need to spend 10 grand to fix this? And the IT professional says, you know, technical jargon. Professional business owner says, I'm sorry, what? And then the IT professional says, listen, I don't have time. You'll just have to trust me. And what ends up happening in that scenario is the business owner has to pick between $10,000, for example, or trusting their IT provider. And that's it hurts both sides. It's a lose-lose. They don't spend the $10,000. The IT professional probably knows what they're talking about and was correct.
They're shaking their head and like,
But the business owner doesn't spend that money, then something breaks, and then the relationship becomes contentious. Yeah. Well, I told you should have spent that $10,000. Well, why is this, you know, why is this breaking? And now you've got this sort of contentious relationship between a provider and the client, versus, you know, as the provider, I have to take responsibility to make sure that the business owner understands why they're making the decision that they're making. If the business owner fully understands the need for that $10,000 purchase and still decides to not do it, at least the relationship is clear. The business owner can clearly understand that it was their decision. The IT professional knows I did everything possible to make sure that they understood the decision that they're making. And if something happens in the future, probably more often than not, the business owner won't even bring it up because they'll be too ashamed and that they didn't listen to you, because you made the consequences very clear. But you know, or because you take that time to explain it to them, and it's just clear that the owner knows why they're making the decision that they're making. Oftentimes you will win them, and they'll make that purchase that you,
yeah. You
know, I'm using an example, but they'll do the thing that you as a technical expert need them to do. The gap is where we don't take the time to empower the owner and make it their decision.
Okay. So it's all about that. This is excellent advice, because I think quite often we get caught too much up in the technical side of things, don't we? That we don't make that communication clear. So, and this is obviously takes us on to our next point, and that was, this is where video can help. So yes. I know that you use video to market and promote your IT services. Do you want to tell me a little bit about your experiences with video?
Yeah. So of course I'm a MSB Academy alum. So, I took Scott's advice, and video has been a great opportunity to get across that personable nature of this relationship. Anyone who's going to be working with me, this is what they're going to get. That's kind of upfront, and hopefully what comes across is, you know, my expertise and authority, you know, in the matters of IT, while also, you know, the nice format of those videos, you know, quick 2-3-4-5 minute videos is, it's kind of quick and concise, you know, gets the information out there, little snippets. And that's a great way, I think, for those in my audience to get a little, you know, taste of what they can expect from working with us, if they choose to do so, and hopefully get something out of those videos, you know, that are, get some, you know, useful, helpful advice when it comes to their IT.
Okay. So I've got to ask you a straight question here, and I'll edit it out if you tell me the wrong answer anyway, so it doesn't matter. Have you had any, I mean, what's your experience been since you've been doing video? Have you had feedback on the videos that you've been doing from existing clients? Mm. Or potentially you might have taken up new business. Have you had any experiences like that so far?
I think I'm still in the beginning stages. I've been doing the videos for a few months now. So the number one area I'm seeing the most kind of feedback on it is probably my existing networking connections and existing clients who are seeing those videos and having very positive responses and feedback to it. I think it's actually, I didn't really predict this, but an area that I'm seeing where it's really helpful is where I've got maybe a business networking connection, and it's allowing them to see me in an expert role and feel comfortable referring me and my company, you know, to people that they know. So it's actually been a boost to that sort of referral network that I've, you know, been building since starting the company. Mm-hmm. I didn't actually kind of predict that was going to happen, but it's been
that added authority or credibility that you're getting from video that you wouldn't have otherwise, because that networking person just doesn't know that enough about you.
Yeah, you know, they know me through maybe a networking connection, but when they kind of get to go to someone they know and say, hey, Blue Castle IT, the owner, Diana, she actually does these, you know, videos, you know, you can check them out on LinkedIn. It's a nice, natural, easy thing for someone to feel confident about, you know, because people who are referring my business to other businesses, they're not necessarily IT people themselves. So they're also kind of lost when it comes to technical jargon. But what they do know oftentimes is social media and, you know, media presence, and they're able to talk about, oh, she's got these videos and they're great. Yeah. And that comes across with confidence.
Have you met anyone that's referred you? Have you met anyone that's seen you first in video before they've actually met in person yet?
I think since starting out, I don't think I've had a direct through the video, like referral, if you will.
Yeah.
But like I said, I think I started these a few months ago.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right. No, it's good to know, because certainly how it works for other MSP Video Academy members, and what I've experienced with video as well, is like, it's almost like a secret weapon. So when someone sees your videos, when you eventually finally you know, get to meet them in person or over a Zoom call like this in 2020. It's almost like I won't say a secret weapon, but it's maybe the wrong terminology, but it gives you a bit of a slight advantage because you have that credibility, you have that authority, and they kind of build up that sort of one-way, it's a one-way relationship with you because they're seeing your videos on a regular basis. Mm. So that's the experience that I've had anyway from it. So I was going to, I guess I'm out of questions, Diana, at this point. And I was like, I usually prepare much better for the interviews than I did today. It's just because we're doing it on a Monday. It's like a Monday evening. It's been a long day more than anything else. It's so difficult to know what's going to happen because of what's happening in the world just now. But do you see your business taking any sort of direction or maybe changes that you maybe got something planned that you maybe didn't have previously?
Well, definitely on a like sales marketing standpoint, I'm definitely shifting the conversation has definitely shifted to remote solutions, VPN security, cybersecurity. I mean, cybersecurity was already kind of, you know, increasingly being a big part of the conversation, but mm-hmm. That's a huge area that everything with COVID that's going on, it's shifting that conversation. I definitely, when this first, when COVID first started happening too, it was one of the things too, where other networkers I was in connection with in other industries were like, you're going to be so busy, Diana, like you're working in IT right now, like you're going to be, you know, overwhelmed. So even people who weren't even, you know, in my industry were seeing how this was impacting our industry. They were seeing how, you know, the IT field was going to be impacted by everything going on with COVID-19. And I think it's about just meeting the moment and shifting to adjust to that, you know, okay. big conversation that we're all in now.
So last question then, who is your ideal client for Blue Castle IT? If you could have an ideal client, what would they look like?
Sure. I mean, I think, you know, right now we're really going after clients in that like 30 to 50 user range. We've got a couple verticals that we're in, legal, finance, insurance. And so the ideal customer to me, ultimately though, besides, you know, those kind of general markers of client, it's really the companies that understand that this is the future. IT is the future. It's what their businesses need to go to. You know, there's gone are the days of paper filing your way through your business. If you're running a business today, in most cases, in most industries, you know, IT is your operating backbone. That's what you're running everything off of. Mm-hmm. And so companies who recognize that and are looking for, you know, that long-term partnership, because it's not something like, oh, let me just take care of it now, and then 5 years, I'll never have to think about this again. You know, information technology is not going anywhere. Having that long-term trusted advisor relationship is key. And so companies that understand that and value that, I don't even care what the environment is. If you have those kind of values,
yeah,
we're gonna work well.
You're gonna work well. Excellent. Okay. Well, thanks very much for being on the show. Just a big shout out the book again. Last time I plug it, Video Marketing for MSPs, available on Amazon. It's a lot. It's like $9.99, you know, it's worth a read. It's the last 18 months worth of experience that I've had doing video marketing. So if you're an IT company or managed service provider, it's going to be for you. Anyway, that's it for today, folks. We'll see you in the next video. Thanks again, Diana. Thanks for being on the show. Blue Castle IT Solutions. Awesome. Take it easy, folks. If you've enjoyed today's episode of IT Rockstars, we invite you to check out itrockstars.net. IT Rockstars is the essential resource to boost your MSP marketing efforts. Every month, you'll gain access to 4 premium white label articles specifically crafted to attract high quality leads. Use this content on your blog, LinkedIn, and email. We'll show you how to generate MSP B2B leads for your IT service business. We can only offer this service to one IT company per area, So sign up today and lock your competitors out.